the episode starting 5 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I was like,
it was up 5 minutes late on HBO Go too.
I was like pressing fast forward on my DVR. Like, am I behind? What's going on? Yeah,
they had to get their previews in for True Blood and the Newsroom. It was ridiculous.
Phil's DVR is time travel.
Yeah, now that people are actually watching the show, they have to, you know, capitalize on the money, right? This is
actually watching the show. Well, this is Game of Thrones. Sometimes people watch Game of Thrones.
It happens rarely.
And when they do, sometimes they decide to log on to the internet and listen to this podcast.
Yay!
This is true.
It is Monday.
It is.
It is actually Monday.
Well, it's Monday for Serlina. I think for all of us stateside, it's still Sunday.
Yes, Woo. It is.
Unless there's something you're not telling us, Eric.
Yes, I'm in a vortex.
Good. That's good to know. It's also good to note that Phil just left us out of the conversation. I think he may be back,
He's
though.
Back.
Are you with us, Phil?
Stupid Skype. The worst.
It is the enemy.
Well, it's great to have you back, Phil.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. You know, be here with the lovely Game of Thrones people.
Well, you know what they say. The more wood.
What do they
the
say?
The bigger the fire?
The bigger the fire, exactly.
Okay.
We got a great bright fire burning this evening.
We do. For those of you that don't know, Phil is the head guy. He's the dude over at winterscoming.net. And that's the truth. We wouldn't lie about that.
No, it's all true.
I thought Marco was in charge over there.
He seems like he is.
Yeah.
Are you sure he's not?
Maybe he's like Littlefinger. He's like pulling the strings behind the scenes or something.
I think there's all that stuff going on at Winter is Coming. Like, I have whole theories about the power structure.
Yeah, exactly. Game of Thrones. Exactly. Game of Winter is Coming.
I can't wait until the fanfic for that starts to roll out, because it definitely will.
Yes.
Well, we were excited to do a new episode of the show because we just had Brian Cogman on the episode on Friday, which I assume Phil's listened to.
Absolutely. Probably. It was awesome. Entertaining. Informative. What else could you want?
You wrote that review on iTunes, didn't you?
Didn't you?
Five
well,
stars.
Thank you, Phil. You understood the rules of May. Well, we were excited to do another one. And Sunday. The episode just aired. We're all reeling from that just lovely, gorgeous, slow, epic last shot, right? Where'd that come from?
What the hell was that?
Aww, that yeah, was right. So lovely. That it reminded was. Me of the season premiere of The Vampire Diaries.
Because that's what they were going for, I know.
I know it wasn't lovely for you because you saw what I was seeing and it was pixelated as shit. So that's
well,
a lie.
Right, but you know.
You imagined what was there.
I imagined. Yeah, I filled in the blanks in my. Well, come on, though.
On
I think, I really think like this is. It was after that, though, you know, you had those terrible scenes in this episode that were truly haunting. And I actually. It was interesting that they chose to end this particular episode with something like a sunrise and something so hopeful. When I don't think they've ever done that on Game of Thrones before.
Right over the Great Valley.
Right. It was like the most sort of uplifting, like, let's look to the future and like this is our kingdom and all of that crap. Like,
it was like the end of a Lord of the Rings.
If only Gilly and Sam had walked up and held hand next to them, that would have been perfect.
It'd be like the end of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Well, did Tormund and the other guy disappear from that? Because they weren't, when the crane shot, like, peeled back, they had left, I think.
Yeah, they were like, we're sick of this. Who needs, like, rom-com moments? We're going to go conquer some stuff.
Yeah, there was some tension there when they finally pulled themselves up, you know, after
well,
he had
yeah,
cut them
the
loose.
Other guy let them die.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. He was quick, too. He was quick about it. He wasn't like... Oh, let's give him a few minutes, see if they can, you know, grab back onto the wall. He's like, oh, we got to cut him loose.
Well, he wasn't
Tormund
that
was like,
quick.
No!
Jon Snow had time to, like, swing, like, 100 times back and forth.
Yeah, I know that challenge.
I guess it was a thick rope. I would have failed at that, by the way. I would have been so consumed by my impending mortality, I don't think I would have been moved. So, props to Jon Snow. I mean,
oh,
that's...
Yeah. Good on you, Jon Snow.
He was protecting his woman, you know, woman.
Yeah, and he better continue to do that or she's going to chop off his cock and wear it around her neck.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Jamie Lannister style.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore.
I think the hand is more hardcore than the cock, though. You know what I mean? The cock is so typical. It's like Tory Bobbitt shit. It's like, we get it. That makes That's been done before.
That's like last
but
year.
The hand, it's like, well, I used to use this, but then I decided I was too much of a badass, so now I just wear it.
Poor Jamie couldn't even... cut his pork.
That was great, though. Like, the way that Brienne was just, like, staring at it so annoyed, and finally she just put her fork in. And it's sort of like, it just, I was thinking, oh, they're trying to be symbolic about them having to work together, you know?
But they're being separated. So now the real question is, and this is, like, one of my ongoing reasons to watch the show, is who's going to be there to hold his ham still the next time he has to cut his ham?
She'll make her way back to him, I'm sure.
Wait, is that a serious question? Are we going to visit this?
Well, no.
All right, let's talk about pork, guys. Let's do this.
Here's
right
my
now.
Serious question, though, and this goes to Phil, I guess, because, well, this goes to all you guys, but we don't have Brian Cogman here, unfortunately, so I'm just transferring. Phil, you're the webmaster over at winterscoming.net. Tell me why, and guys, please tell me, why would you adapt a show that's this violent for television? Like, from a series what? That from a series
are you
that's
asking
this
in season 3?
Yeah,
yeah, right.
I mean, to me,
where have you been the past 2.5 seasons?
I mean,
but to me, the experience is suffered by Roz and by Theon.
The Roz thing wasn't even in the books.
In this episode, I really wonder. It made me really wonder because Theon's getting his, like, flesh from his finger sliced off slowly and peeled by this guy, you know, who's, I don't understand. This bothers me more than any other scene so far in the show, and with Roz as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely, with Roz.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Lost, for example, okay?
Yes.
In the show Lost, the devastating violence of a plane crash happens. Why would they ever put that on TV?
I don't understand why they adapted that, you know? Like, when it,
why would
the
they ever adapt
so
Lost
violence
for TV? It's the same point, Eric. I don't think that the violence is enough of an issue to judge whether or not it should be adapted. I mean, the show's meant for adults. I don't think that adults should be afraid to watch something that other adults made up and, like, did makeup for and to watch on TV for
Although,
entertainment.
I do think, like, maybe going off of Eric's point, I think that this episode definitely had, I mean, those two scenes, the Theon scene and the Roz scene, were really harrowing. I mean, not in a way that the show hasn't been before. I don't think it was worse than, do you remember that one where last season when
ships
Joffrey,
blew up and people died out of ships.
That too. But I mean, you know, in terms of, like, really, really haunting scenes, like the other one with Joffrey where he, like, made one whore, like, that was actually Roz again, sort of beat the other one bloody. Like, it was too much. And I almost feel like in this scene with the finger and with Roz, I mean, you leave that going, did I really just watch that? Like,
and let's not forget that Theon hung and burned and charred two children.
Yeah. Hang. And that wasn't too much.
Well, so is there a limit, though? How much is too much?
It's not the violence. It's just, like, the, you know, how, like, sadistic it is. Mm. Like, you got, you know, the guy who's holding Theon, who's, like, obviously, like, just getting off on the way he's, like, torturing
him.
And then
all the music.
And then we know that Joffrey is the same way. And yeah, it's a little much. And the books are violent, but they don't tread into the sadistic stuff quite as much as the show has. They seem to have amped it up a little bit. I'm not sure for what reason. Maybe just to, you know, shock people, I guess. But yeah.
The Roz bit was just like, where the hell did this come from?
Well, I didn't understand why she was killed.
Because Baelish found out she was an informant.
Yeah.
For
Varys.
But how did that have anything to do with Joffrey?
Well, he's the male. You know how when he's telling that story to Varys that he had a particular male client who wanted to try something he'd never tried before with one of his girls, aka the informant? That was Joffrey.
Right.
So,
oh my God.
Basically, okay. It's the wrath of Renly. And this connects to the, dare I say it, the commentary episode
Renly.
We were experiencing.
The wrath of Renly.
Beware the wrath of Renly.
He's channeling his uncle?
Of Baelish. The wrath of Littlefinger. This connects to the commentary episode we recorded where Baelish is holding a knife up to Ned's throat. You know, we recorded that earlier this afternoon. But, you know, he's you don't fuck with him. And he's a really badass or bad guy.
Well, I think it even ties back to the other commentary episode that we've been doing recently that we were asking, what's the purpose of Roz? And, you know, she's leaving, she's going away to King's Landing. Theon's all disappointed because he doesn't have a friend around Winterfell anymore. And so, you know, it's almost, what was her, purpose solely to go to King's Landing to become Baelish's right-hand woman, mm-hmm. to inform on him to Varys, and then to die with a million arrows, go through her body in different places?
I mean, in a way, though, I mean, even though that's sort of, it's a really good question. I sort of feel like I guess that was her sole purpose. And because she's not a character in the books, that's pretty much as far as they could take her. You know, like they couldn't sort of make her just like a secret Baratheon child or whatever. We'll get to that. But I feel like that was a really, just that scene in itself was really effective. Although I don't think we need any more proof that Joffrey is a sadistic son of a bitch.
Did anybody notice the parallel though between Arya earlier in the episode?
Yes. Yes.
And what Joffrey did to
the targets
Roz?
Were the exact almost.
Oh, yes.
The thing is, when Arya was doing it, it's funny because she obviously still has that mantra going where she says, Joffrey, Cersei, Illyn, Payne. And then she hit them respectively in the face, the tits, and the balls. So I thought that was funny. I did not expect that to come back up in the episode.
Foreshadowing?
It was just like she'd shoot Joffrey in the face, she'd shoot Cersei in the tits, and she'd shoot Illyn Payne in the balls. So I thought that. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, there's a parallel.
I mean, I don't necessarily think that the Roz scene needed to be in there. I think that Baelish communicated his point without you having to go and see what happened. I don't think you ever needed to know that Joffrey did this unless they're just looking to continue to paint Joffrey as this really twisted child. I don't think it would have taken away or given anything to the episode one way or another. So for that particular scene, to me, didn't need to be there. The Theon scene, I think, is important moving forward, so it had to be there.
Yeah.
Right. For me, the Roz stuff, it was only a shot, and it was pretty extreme, considering, but I don't believe that that was a story piece. That was shock value piece for Twitter fodder and et cetera, et cetera. It gets people talking.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
I mean, we just talked about that on the commentary episode when the two whores were going at it, you know, and now we see the alpha whore has been slain. Mm. And so they show a shot of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I feel sad, though. I liked her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was Joffrey when Baelish was talking about him, because he was being so cryptic about it, obviously, as you would do in that situation. But the shot completed it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I didn't know it was Joffrey for sure either. So
I can't believe he did that. I mean, I know I shouldn't be shocked.
I blame Margaery. Does anybody else blame Margaery?
I don't, but I see what you mean.
She sexualized the crossbow for him or whatever.
I don't think this was what she had in mind, though.
No. I don't know if this was a sexual thing. I think this is more of a murder thing.
I just think they go hand in hand with Joffrey.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. And I don't know if that's book Joffrey, obviously, because I'm not far enough. But it definitely seems that he's got some shit he needs to work out here soon.
I thought it really served more so as a device in the sense of Baelish and his power. And he was looking to demonstrate his power over Varys and knowing more information than Varys knows. And, you know, you get that cutscene at the end with Sansa crying as supposedly Baelish sails off to the Vale.
Yeah, the ship that she was supposed to leave King's Landing on, but then she turned Littlefinger down because she wanted to stay and get married to Loras. But, you know, obviously that wasn't going to happen, and she was realizing that, you know, basically the ship had sailed and she was screwed.
Yeah, because Tyrion had just told her about, hey, this is the new arrangement. I don't really like it.
Right.
This is awkward.
And then she's standing there watching the ship that she could have escaped on, and now it's too late. She can't.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I'm surprised Shay was with her. You know,
I was very relieved by Shay's expression because she did not look angry at Sansa or at Tyrion. Like, she looked in that moment like she understood the situation. Which I really hope is the case, because I hate it when TV shows, when they don't get it just for the sake of drama, you know?
Right. At first she was pissed, though. She was like, why didn't you talk to her by yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Sansa's
true.
Like, hey, chill, you're my friend and shit, but this is like a guy, and she doesn't know anything. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. That was a funny moment. A little bit of humor in a pretty dark episode.
I gotta say, I'm getting pretty fed up with Littlefinger always getting the upper hand on on Varys and these, when they have these discussions, it's always him that walks away having gotten the last word. I just want Varys to own him already.
Well, if that was him sailing away, you'll see less of him, I think, I hope, moving forward. And also, you can't deny that his speech was powerful about chaos.
Oh, absolutely.
Not being a pit, it being a ladder. Like, that's brilliant. That is the anthem to anybody who does what Baelish and Varys do. Mm-hmm. The spider.
It's just
anthem.
So they could tie it into the title of the episode.
Yeah, that's what they based it on. Now, I think it might have been a little bit more powerful. I'm never really one to pick on stuff like this, but I think it would have been a little bit more powerful if I had heard this voiceover for the first time in the show and not on a trailer ago.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's pretty cool that I heard it on the show and not in the trailer, because it just, I don't know, it felt pretty powerful. So it really depended on what kind of feeling they wanted to push there. But it felt alien to the show and maybe almost felt pivotal in a way that maybe more things like this are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean more voiceovers, but maybe more kind of out of body experiences within the show. And I don't really know if how I'm describing it makes any sense, but I just felt like this was something that really hadn't been done before. And they were trying to say so much with the voiceover and the music.
I thought in the beginning of the episode, when Arya was saying those words, that she was actually speaking them in her mind.
Well, you mentioned Arya, but what I want to know most about her is why she's training with a bow. Has she abandoned her sword lessons? Has she abandoned Cyril Forel's teachings?
Dude,
for
she's
the bow?
Realizing that, yeah, the bow and arrow, that's in right now. Katniss, girl power all the way, you know?
She's diversifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's just trying to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But surely there's a good swordsman. Surely Thoros of Mir, or Beric Dondarrion could teach her a thing or two about swords, but no, she's all about the bow now.
Yeah, but if you go all the way back to episode one, there's that scene with her shooting the bow and arrow when Bran is practicing.
Yep.
So it was actually her first true
her
passion.
First weapon.
Her first love.
Yeah. Her first love was the bow. And then it was the crossbow. And then she quickly learned how shitty those can be sometimes. And then she went right back to the bow.
They take too long to load.
They do take too long to load.
Let's talk about this massive deviation from the book.
Okay, let's
that's
do
going
it, please.
On, since we're talking about Arya.
How massive
it.
Is it?
It's pretty massive,
it's massive,
but I like it.
Absolutely
I like it
massive.
A lot, actually.
Do you?
I do.
I'm still not
I like
sure
it a lot.
How I feel about it.
You guys talking about Melisandre coming in, right?
Right, yeah. This,
well, yeah, and the person she took away.
The person she took and her interactions with Thoros and with Arya, none of that happens in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's confusing to me. I thought that whole scene was going to be about Beric Dondarrion and Melisandre kind of finding her own faith, because she comes to this guy who's clearly been resurrected like six times. I thought it was all about the red light, or, you know, the magic, the red, you know, all of these, this Lord of Light thing. And then she does a 180 and then takes the blood of Stannis back with her.
She was freaked out by Beric Dondarrion. I thought that was really interesting, just before we get to the Gendry thing. Like, that, she was not expecting that. And she didn't look like she was seeing a miracle. She looked like she was seeing something that scared her.
I think she was jelly.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it was?
Yeah.
No, but it was funny.
Well, I like the dynamic of having these two, like, red priests or priestesses, you know, these servants of the red god. Like talking shop, you know, they're like, what? you raised them six times? Well, that's crazy.
That was so cool.
You can't
it definitely
that.
It felt like worlds colliding, because last season it was just such a negative thing. The Lord of Light, you know, from the first episode and blah, 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 blah. All the stuff happening with Stannis turning into kind of an odd guy, even though he was much odd before. And then we see Thoros, and then now they're together.
Yeah.
And no one's fighting. You know what I mean? And I'm just thinking, this person sucks. She killed Renly, the one true king.
Yeah, I'm still pissed about that.
Yeah, I kind of agree, Selena, with what you were saying, because she did seem scared in a way. And I don't know, maybe it wasn't fear necessarily, but I think in seeing Beric Dondarrion, she got validation for her beliefs and for her religion. Because I don't really think the shadow creature from last season was in any way a validation of sorts. I think that looking at somebody who's been brought back to life through this god is proof for her that what she's doing actually has a purpose.
Right, and I always feel like she feels like a bit of a cheat to me. Like, she's sort of making it up as she goes along, and I think a lot of what she does probably isn't.
It was a parlor trick to hatch the shadow child and then send it on Renly to kill him.
That's what I always kind of thought, or that's what I always wanted to believe, because I hate her and I don't want her to be right. But so I feel like when she actually saw that resurrection, it was like, holy shit, like, I'm not just crazy. Yeah, right. No, right. Well, I'm not just making this up. Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, some people can actually do it for real, and I'm just pretending.
She's just waiting to get her letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Her Hogwarts letter.
Come to the Red Priest school. It's where we train people how to birth shadow things. Yeah, I still think that was extreme enough to be like, I'm doing magic, at least sort of. Something came out of me really quickly. Mm-hmm. It was a grown thing. And there's no cartoons anywhere, so you know, it just feels a little real to me. But I mean, you know,
yeah,
the whole white
like magic
aspect of him being healed is a lot more pure. And I don't know,
yeah,
maybe she's good. Maybe she just sees this, oh, the life thing. Mm. Someone came back to life. This could be good rather than bad.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, what does that say about Thoros of Myr as a sort of a failed human being? You know, like he's a drunk and he didn't believe in the words he was saying even as he uttered them. And then it brought, you know, Beric Dondarrion back to life. Like, what is, because it's not like you even have to have faith to be able to cause these actions to happen. It's really weird, you know, but the Lord of Light, we said this in the last episode, he's the god that rewards you. He's the god who actually proves his own existence by interfering.
Right, but I think that scene was more about him being showed that his faith was really inside of himself the whole time. Mm. Like when it happened, he said the only words he knew were those words.
Yeah.
Something terrible happened, and that's the first thing that was in his mind that he could say. Mm. Whether or not he had an active system of faith going, I mean, that's up in the air, and that's for George to decide. But I think that it's pretty interesting that this thing that we've been so negative on up until this point, you know, kind of poured out of someone or through someone and healing someone, not once, but like six times now.
I still don't believe it. I'm calling
I can't
bullshit.
Believe it's
I
not butter.
I know.
Well, just so we're clear, I don't believe it either.
Well, no, but in the show, like, I think, I don't know. I'm like adamantly believing that. This isn't like we aren't going to end the series with just being, oh, it was the Lord of Light that like did this, you know, like there's going to be some kind of, I don't know.
Definitely some trickery. Mm. There's got to be.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, that's what Melisandre's doing. She's basically just like tricking everybody. And then she sees this actual looks like a miracle. And she's like, holy crap.
Oh, that makes sense, because she was just so shocked by it, like truly shocked, unlike mm-hmm. we've seen her be before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she basically goes through all of these parts of Beric's body, and she's looking at his eye, and then she's looking at his scars, and how many times did this motherfucker die? Like, is he really Michael Myers from Halloween or something like
she's
that?
She's like, I know the Lord of Light. This ain't his work.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is that perhaps it's the opposite of the Lord of Light, right? Like, the other person is bringing this guy back to life, and she doesn't know it yet. Mm. That's what I got from it. But that's just, that comes from being overexposed, I think, to other series and other ideas and cultures and things like that. But I, you know, I think ultimately it makes for good storytelling. It gets us talking and gets us thinking about it.
Right. So, I mean, so she takes Gendry away and she's all like, you have a purpose and blah, 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 blah. And
that's
now,
exactly how she said it.
Exactly. And I want to ask, you know, to Micah and Phil, I mean, the thing is about Gendry is that this does not happen to Gendry in the books. None of this. This is super weird. But it seems to me like they are putting Gendry in the place of Edric Storm, who is another... I mean, he's basically Gendry, just in a different part of the world.
He's the Dragonstone version of Gendry.
Yeah. He's another one of Robert's... I know, right? So he's another one of Robert's bastards, and he sort of figures into the Stannis story. And I feel like they're just replacing him at this point. And this really, I don't want them to do that.
Well, is it a bit of a stretch then? To send Melisandre off, you know, to the other part of the world to get him and then bring him all the way back to Dragonstone just to replace his character?
It would be, except she's probably like seen him in her fires or whatever.
They made it so, I mean, you can make it work in that way because she has that power of being able to see things in the flames. So mm-hmm. they can kind of explain it that way, but. She traveled there pretty quickly. I don't know about, I mean, they kind of fudged the timeline and the distance traveled there.
It's not the first time they've done that, though.
No, it's not. It's not. You
well, it's been a few episodes. You know, we haven't seen her in a while. Right?
That's true. I think, yeah, that's true. It's been three. There's three episodes, or at least two.
I think the only, I mean, we're fresh that it takes a month to get from King's Landing to Winterfell on horseback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, figure a few weeks, I guess, to get to wherever they are in the Riverlands. Anyway, we're nerding out way too much right now.
We're going to get out of compasses.
You're still listening to Game of Owns. Gendry was captured by Melisandre. Arya didn't like
it
too much.
He was sold.
What did, I want to hear what the newbies thought of Melisandre's kind of what she said to Arya. Like, what did you guys think of that?
I quoted this. Yeah, I got it down. I'm just going to rush this out really quick. I see a darkness in you. Brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes. Eyes you'll shut forever. We will meet again.
All right, so let's piece it apart. Three people are going to die. She's going to kill them unless Melisandre is a trickster. Right?
Yes.
So this is a prophecy that Arya will actually shut those three eyes, Joffrey, Cersei, Illyn, Payne?
Well, I don't know if those are the eyes necessarily.
Hmm. But brown eyes.
Or she was creeping Arya's Twitter and just like,
Joffrey
told
and Cersei both have
hear.
Blue eyes.
Oh, well, there you go. That's flawed then. But brown eyes, blue eyes, thought. Green eyes.
I'm more intrigued by the we will meet again.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's just what you say, isn't it? Like, we'll meet again. If you're pretending, even if you're pretending to be somebody who has magical powers, you say, we'll meet again. And then if
well,
it never
hypothetically
happens,
like, speaking,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These two never met in the books mm-hmm. because this scene never takes place in the books. So saying that we'll meet again can mean a number of different things. It could mean they'll meet again in the show sometime later this season, or it could mean that they maybe meet later on in the series.
Maybe
so
Arya
that's what I
comes
find interesting
and
about
saves
it.
Gendry.
Yeah, isn't that what would happen? I mean, she'd have some resistance, obviously, from the men, the Brotherhood. He was like, I thought you were brothers. And they're like, nope, sorry. But I mean,
like gold.
Wouldn't she mount a rescue effort?
No.
I hope so. But she was,
she's like
Arya
nine.
Was pretty
bow
like,
and arrow.
She was pretty passive when he was like driving away and she just like stood there. And I was like, dude, he was like your family an episode ago. What happened?
You could be his lady, girl.
Yeah, the thing is, she got shut down.
True.
And so
true.
Now she's a little bitter. Mm-hmm. And also, those sacks of gold were pretty big, okay?
And she was probably still bitter about what they said before about Melisandre.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. They're just like, she's too, I don't get her. She's so not that great. And he's like, yeah, you don't get her because you're a girl.
Well, now Gendry is going to get all he wants of her.
I mean, probably. That strikes me as the kind of lady that she's been lately. So we'll see. It's interesting how this all will develop. I have no idea.
I don't either. And the outstanding issue for me with the Brotherhood is that they were going to get Gendry to make those little arrowheads or whatever. And I guess they're just not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, what are they going to do now? Like, it seemed like they had a good situation going. Oh, that's true. So much easier.
He can mail them from Dragonstone.
Yeah, I thought they'd be for her victims. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it is a real prophecy of the color of the eyes of the people who she really will kill. It's too early to say. Right now, Arya is about to be sold back to her family in Riverrun, right? I mean, isn't that what the brothers are going to do with her? So it doesn't seem like she'll be taking an active role in anything for quite some time. Especially if she reaches her destination and is with family, she's not going to really be able to go off and fight in any wars because they still coddle her and want her to be a lady, to be honest.
But you just said that she may kill people.
Yeah, I think she'll kill. I mean, but if the show is going where I think it's going, then she won't kill people for a while. You know, she may have
it's
to
so
grow
hard
up.
To judge where everything's going. Honestly, yeah. This was one of those episodes. I don't feel like much absolute progression happened once I watched it just by feeling, but when you really think about it, a lot of shit happened. I mean, not to mention a handful of guys from the north climbed up a wall, but a lot of things were happening south of the wall. I mean, we've got Loras owning Sansa, teaching her mm-hmm. the difference between a brooch and a pin. Very nice of Loras to do
well,
that.
I suppose a brooch is like a pin.
It's sort of like a pin.
That was so funny. I loved it.
And I just still can't get over the fact that Melisandre is just riding on a wagon after who she was last season and what she did. It's just like, what a meetup. Just meeting out in the woods. There she is.
Couldn't she
Everyone
be riding a shadow chariot Wouldn't that
be anything
more fitting? Phil, what does her magic end there?
They're called Thestrals, Eric.
She hasn't mastered teleportation yet.
No, but once she does, it's going to really make the show move a little quicker. So
it's a 700-foot wall, but Tormund is no stranger to it. He's climbed it 100 times.
Good workout.
Times.
That must be...
that's why he's so ripped.
Yeah, that's like... that's like the equivalent of like running a marathon or like the mile or something. And he just does it for like to stay fit and stay buff.
And the Night's Watch has never noticed.
Big. There's not enough of the,
exactly. It just says a lot about them.
That's one of the lines that I really enjoyed that they were telling Jon Snow there used to not be trees for miles before you get to the wall. And now they're right up next against the wall, providing us cover. And that's because there are less of you than ever. You guys are just dwindling. And I thought that was really cool.
If you can't climb over the mountain, what do you do, Eric? Yeah.
You have to just go up to the side of the mountain, you look for a door, and you say, Melon.
And then they throw fruit at you, and then you walk away.
Lots of malt beer, and you walk right in.
Yep. That's so weird. Like, I don't remember that for some reason, them climbing the wall.
No, it did happen. But they didn't have this huge, like, almost falling off and then swing around. You know, that was very visual. Let's make this a bit more dramatic.
I like
none of us saw that coming. No, but it was really good. I wasn't sure where they were going to go with it. Again, because I don't know what happens to these characters. I'm unsullied.
Yeah.
I thought Ygritte was going to fall. Like, I really thought she was going
to
fall.
I thought so, too. And I didn't want her to die because this episode, at least for part of it, she was... being nice to John, I felt like for the first time.
There's a test of his loyalty. He could have cut her loose and never like thought twice about it.
Why would he do that?
Wow.
She seemed pretty intense, dude. She was a clinger. She's like a stage four clinger.
He got what he wanted.
She's not a clinger. She's cool. She's pretty cool. I mean, come on.
I thought she's pretty cool too. Okay. But that ending shot of them is pretty cheesy. I'm just saying if he ever wanted to, but this shows what kind of man Jon Snow is. And to be fair, they did climb right below an abandoned tower. They had asked him in a previous episode which ones are, you know, don't have men guarding them, that sort of thing. So they did find a place in the wall that was not manned pretty much at all. And now I guess my question is, because it's unmanned, they don't have an elevator there for them. They're going to have to scale it down too. They're going to have to belay themselves down off the wall.
Yes, belay.
Maybe there are stairs.
Maybe there are stairs. Spiral ones carved into the building.
That'd be cool to do with ice sculpting stairs.
They'd be so slippery.
they're actually just going to jump onto Oral's eagle. Descend down to the ground level.
Gandalf style.
Or how about this, a 700-foot slide.
Oh my God.
There you go.
It's ice. Come on.
That would be fun.
That would be pretty fun. Little potato sacks up there waiting for them. Just come on down, everybody. No, I mean, we make jokes because I feel like it ended on such a light note. It seemed so final. I don't want to say season finale final, but...
It did. It
was very final.
It had the feeling somewhat from season 2 finale, even though very different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Just the wide shot, because they panned out to a wide shot of the White Walkers. It seemed a little bit like that to me.
Yeah, it didn't. It was kind of out of place, and I'm not sure what the purpose is, and I'm sure that we're ignorant to it now because we're only partially into the season, and all will become clear. I trust them, but it was pretty lighthearted there at the end. Like they climbed, they survived. That was all, and that was wonderful. They started just making out though, just kissing, just getting on it. So cool for them. I'm glad that they're together. That's a great relationship.
Yeah.
There are very few of these in the show.
Yeah,
and I don't mean to transition us so harshly.
Light in the darkness, you know?
Yeah. But meanwhile, in King's Landing, there are a host of problems with these relationships. And for me, watching this show, I have to say that one of the most pleasing scenes that I got, I was just like, this is cool. I remember texting Selena, this is incredible. It's when Lady Olenna and Tywin Lannister were in a room with each other. It's just like, put these two in a room. I want to see these guys have a show. I ship these two.
Who doesn't?
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they were just great. Because Tywin, like, he took all of her sass. She took all of his. No one got mad like all these younger people on the show. They would have started stabbing each other. They were saying horrible shit.
Yeah.
She was saying horrible shit about his kids. Everyone's just cool. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
I think
great.
It's such an interesting conversation they had too about how she was like, yeah, you know, two boys getting together, that's natural. And he was like, no, it is wrong.
Well, she was basically like, well, he said your son, you know, has a stain on his name. And she's like, well, so is your daughter. You know, mm-hmm. It's like our kids
and
are
son.
Both. Yeah. You know, it's really, they worked it out. And I too enjoyed that scene. I'd have to say it was probably my favorite.
I forget what he asked her, but she was just like, I didn't write this down. I don't know if it's exactly right, but he was like, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, as an authority on myself, I must disagree.
This was
and I'm
brilliant.
Like,
brilliant.
Where were you 10 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. I wish that I had you in my life to tell me, like, this is, imagine all the arguments you could have won as a child. Just as an authority on myself, I must disagree.
Well, it's just because he was trying to tell her, like, you think this, or like, this is why you're doing this. And she was like, you know what, screw you, like, you're not in my head.
I feel like this is going to be quoted about 19 times per debate night next mm-hmm. presidential election.
Yeah, well, I guess that, you know, another big part of this argument was that Cersei was too old to bear children, which really mm-hmm. has got to hit Tywin at the gut, you know, because he's old, but his daughter's his prized, you know, flower. He's the one who says, well, you're going to go forth and unite our families. And that's his big plan. For Olenna to say she's too old for that, that's kind of a kick.
I think she was kidding, though, because at the end, I think she accepted and she was just looking for a way to unite Loras to Sansa. Right? Am I right here? Do you think that she was really worried about Cersei being barren? Or was it a pretend?
Well, the only thing that got her to stop was what Tywin promised to put Loras on the Kingsguard and then to have him, what is it, killed or just not married? And
no, he just wouldn't
disappear.
Be able to get married.
Yeah, he just disappear, his noteworthiness and all that stuff. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a serious concern for Cersei's age, but it's not really a point. She should have she's still going to go through with it, obviously. So it doesn't really matter much going forward.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. I thought it was a great scene. You know, I like when they put in scenes that really enhance the episode that normally may not appear in the actual text. So this was one of those scenes for me. And just when you have these two sort of really great actors and these two power players, and just the fact that they can bounce off each other so well and have these great lines that leave, you know, these lasting impacts that we're able to create own-worthy moments from, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. In the book, it can be said, and I don't know how it appears in the book yet, but it can be said that these two families are vying for power, right? They both want to control Westeros and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But adding a scene like this in and showing these two, the two heads of these families actually talking about this stuff, and with, you know, Micah, you mentioned the quality of actors that they have, really kind of shows it better, I think, and really kind of allows the audience to gather what's going on without it being too expository.
For imagery purposes, it's a lot like two giant hosts of soldiers across each other in a field, and it's the two generals or kings or whatever just coming in and having a chat in the middle of the field, just having a laugh with each other, like, oh, you dumbass, well, we're taking it back. You know, and then they go back and let everybody fight, and in the end, everything's okay. That's kind of what they're doing here.
Pretty much.
What were the Frey boys doing?
They were being creepy.
they were looking strange.
They were wearing gloves.
And little hats.
Let me just say that. They were funny, just, you know.
Funny little hats.
Leather yeah. gloves.
Little bitty, little Frey hats.
They're like a cult. The cult of Frey.
Yeah.
We're all kin with one another. Yes. Hey, I didn't see this twist coming. And I thought, especially being on a show with Mike and Selena, they're always like, he broke his promise to the Freys. I don't know which one of you sound like that. But
it's me.
It's a combination of both of us together.
Yeah, put it together. That's what comes out. I thought something bad was going to happen, but they were just like, listen, you know, you should have married one of our sisters. You promised my dad. And he was mm-hmm. like, I know. They're like, all right, well, listen, if we still want to get this together, so if you want to make it work, here's our new demands.
Hey, Edmure thought it was pretty bad, though.
Yeah, he wasn't pleased. I love that little beat where they all kind of look at him. He's like, what? He didn't pick up yeah. what was happening.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he took it well, though. I mean, considering. Mm.
Well, Blackfish was about to punch him in the face.
That's a great line.
What did he say? Something about his fists and his teeth. Like,
yeah. Dibs on that being like, my own.
No, this is my own. I haven't written down.
Well, Rob brought up the stone mill and that blunder that was the stone mill. And then Edmure realized that it was pretty much his duty to clear, Rob's mistake any way he could. So with his mistake. So there's that. I mean, he pretty much had him. I'm just glad that moving forward, hopefully there's a peace between those guys.
Yeah. That would really help Rob's course, wouldn't it?
It's unfair, though, because Rob's mistake was a knowing mistake. And the mill, the whole accident was because some of the orders were like secret and privileged, yada, yada, yada. Like he didn't necessarily know their strategy until it was already over.
That's a good point.
Edmure's such a tool, though. Like, let's not feel too bad for him.
Well, yeah.
It's okay. He's a tool.
And Rob's wife is probably hands down way more cool and attractive than the Frey girl.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
It's a good situation for everyone.
Even those Freys asked Edmure, why? Do you want to check how many teeth she has? I mean, that should tell you right there.
That they know they have a problem.
The first he's like, give me the girl with the least teeth, okay?
Also, Harrenhal was put out there for the phrase to control once the war is over.
I don't know why they all want Harrenhal.
Yeah, it just gets passed around. Nobody
it's
wants
because
it.
Because the guy who used to run Harrenhal like 10 years ago, this old brochures he had made by that really good ad agency is still around. So it's like, come visit Sunny Harrenhal. Look at our whores. And they're just beautiful. And
Harrenhal it's like, has gotten the most heat out of every... He doesn't mean sunshine. You'd think he would.
Yeah, right?
Out of all the lands in Westeros. Yeah.
I don't know. Walder Frey seems like a Harrenhal kind of guy.
That's very true.
He could fill most of Harrenhal with his family.
Probably. Mm.
That's true. They need a new house. How about this estate? You could be the lord of it, each of you. Mm-hmm. Man, the Freys, though. It's kind of sad that they have so many men. Probably their own offspring. But still, it's a rough situation. But I didn't see it becoming this easy as the story moved along. And I don't know if it's book canon. I don't know if it's show canon. But it seems like a fairly easy fix. It's just whether or not Edmure's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's never easy.
It's never easy
in the Game of Thrones.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, I obviously need to take a step back and understand that, well, Rob could have just married someone in the first place. So it's probably not going to turn out very simple. But for now, it's just funny to poke fun at the guy. It's like, you messed up, dumbass. Well, congrats on your new wife. I hear she's a real keeper.
Maybe a quote from that Bolton's bastard, not Karstark's son, as was previously guessed. Maybe that quote that he said, what is it? If you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, that could probably go for the whole story, huh? The whole, like, saga. That's like the quote to sum up all of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but then you need to think back to this beautiful ending of the trees and the willows and the music and the sun.
A bit ironic. Yeah.
Oh, God. Literally the next frame of next week's episode is going to be like cleaning up Ross's body or something.
Oh, yeah.
John slips and he falls off the wall.
No, Jamie reaches out and pushes
him. But then he bounces up once his curls hit the ground.
They're like springs.
Are you all right?
Let's talk about, I mean, we spent a lot of time earlier on that Roz scene and all those implications, but what about what's happening to Theon? I mean, Selena, you said you almost feel bad for him. I almost felt bad for him in this scene.
There's nothing almost about it. Like, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I don't like Theon, but I don't like seeing anybody get tortured. I think it's ridiculous. And I think if there's any way that they can make me like Theon, it's by putting him with this character that I just hate 10 times more, you know, because them two together, like by comparison, you're going to be on Theon's side. Like he's the one tied up being tortured. And I mean, it's just redundant at this point. Like this dude is just horribly sadistic. They should introduce him to Joffrey. They could have crazy parties. You know,
maybe they're crazy parties. Hey, you're crazy too.
Crazier than a shithouse rat.
Don't accept that invitation.
We should go to a crazy party. That would be awesome.
There's a line that Brad Pitt says in Seven, which I think is particularly relevant for this scene, where he's basically asking the bad guy in Seven if crazy people know that they're crazy. But yeah, crazy party. Absolutely. And the comparison is drawn. I really don't know who would win between Joffrey and this other guy.
Good question. As far as craziness is concerned, probably Joffrey. But this other guy is just, he's just batshit crazy. He's sitting down, and I thought for a second that, oh, okay, this is one of the Karstark kids, even though that doesn't sound about right. And then, oh, okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't right about that. And it's just like, I don't know where we stand with him. Where does he stand? Does he even know what he's doing?
I mean, that's the question. And I want to ask Micah and Phil, because I'm just, oh, first of all, I couldn't really hear what he was saying in this scene, so I was confused to begin with. But, I mean, is he Rickard Karstark's son, or was he lying, or what was happening?
No, he admitted to lying.
He was lying.
Yeah,
at the end of it all, he was like, while I was torturing you, you forgot to ask one important question. Are you going to lie to me? Are you a liar?
I just thought that was about the finger.
No. Yeah. It was.
So who is he? Do we know?
We don't know.
It's been said on this show, I think.
Yeah,
we all kind of, because the sigil is very apparent to be what he's tied to. But in that case, it's Theon's fault for not memorizing his house sigils. I mean, what did he learn at the Stark School in Winterfell? Really?
Yeah.
I blame Theon's teacher.
Plus, he's getting the skin flayed off of his finger.
God. It's just, I had to mute. I muted my sound.
Ouch.
That's good. You didn't hear me laugh. No.
You flay that finger.
You flay it. I don't know. I obviously, it's terrible for Theon, but he sucks and he's done bad things. So, yeah, Theon, I don't know what's going to happen to you, man. We'll see.
Nothing good.
Yeah.
How's your dad?
Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for Theon.
Well, Selena pointed out, we do see Yara at some point in one of the trailers.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her to pop up.
Me too.
It's like, we're running out of time here.
You're right.
She'll just be like
Phil.
The cliffhanger in the season 3 finale. She'll just show up, be like, I'm here to fix this shit.
Yeah.
She just rolls in on the sea bit.
She's pretty much.
My other Theon's ship, everyone else is broken.
Well, are they running out of, this is a serious question I thought of today, but it basically springs from me wanting to see this torturer killed in a way that's even better than the three arrows that, or the arrow to the face that he got the other guy with. You know, are they running out of ways to kill people on the show? What way can they possibly reserve, assuming this torturer gets his due at some point? How is it going to happen? You know, what could they possibly do to this guy to repay the karma debt for torturing Theon in this way? Because I think he deserves the worst.
I agree with
Hodor
you.
Hodor could eat him.
Bit by bit.
Just it's dinner, Hodor.
Hodor.
We got a Hodor in this episode. That was kind of fun.
Yeah,
it was a hilarious one, too. So it's always good to have
It was the confused, worried Hodor.
Yeah. Well,
hey, is that kid over there sleeping? Okay.
In a bizarre twist, Bran is the one who's awake while Jojen Reed is sleeping. And as it turns out, convulsing. So maybe this whole episode was in like a mirror universe where Bran is awake and Jojen sleeps. And so none of it actually happened. Maybe that was our one hint.
Hmm.
Maybe Theon's finger's intact.
Yeah, that's a stretch. But it could happen. No, but
probably not.
Thank you for entertaining that thought for 30 seconds. But anyway, yes.
It was less than 30 seconds.
Bran and Jojen.
I like this particular scene. We don't get to see a lot of them, or at least we haven't in this particular season. And I like the sort of resolution that finally happened between Osha and Mira. And Bran kind of owned Osha at one point. When he talked about the fact that, oh yeah, well, you're complaining because the first time you and Mira met, she put a knife to your throat. Well, do you remember what happened the first time you and I met?
We just had seen that, and I was like, oh, what a good flip. And I felt like so much of the episode was kind of mirrored in a weird way to what we had just watched, but I'm just going to leave those theories away.
Very true.
I know, and there's so many different things that were mirrored onto it that I just caught because we had just watched it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're talking about, just for the listeners, for their sake, it's season one, episodes, what, 5 and 6, 6 and 7?
Just six.
Yeah,
six, was
six, six in
one.
Particular. So we saw some parallels there, maybe worth an essay or something to our Game of Thrones contact, but we're not there yet.
But what did you think of Jojen's vision?
Oh, Jon Snow's north of the wall surrounded by enemies?
That was so random.
He was warging it out.
I don't think he said that. North of the wall, he said the wrong side of the wall.
That's
good.
Well, there's
only two sides.
Yeah.
So if half of us guess one side, half of us guess the other, Some are right. We'll discuss both theories.
That's good, Micah. You're right, 100%. The wrong side of the wall. So what side of the wall is the right side? The north side where he should be surrounded by enemies, or the south side where he shouldn't be surrounded by enemies? There you go. Okay.
Well, if he's on the south side of the wall and he's now a free individual, he could be on the wrong side of the wall because all of the members of the Night's Watch are going to not warmly receive him.
It's not going to be easy for Jon Snow because once you stray from the wall, you're liable to be killed. Anybody at all could kill you and be completely justified. So even though he wants to see the warm weather, I don't see him really getting away with what he's done.
It's a good point. I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue with the current state of war, though. I don't know Westeros that well, though. I've never been there.
That's true. Well, maybe if he changes his clothes and pretends not to be a crow, because he's dressed just like a crow.
Literally the only thing that would give him away is his outfit. So just change Jon Snow, well, please.
Just like that guy at the beginning of the show, right? The deserter from the wall. Still dressed like the deserter from the wall, so.
Right.
He wasn't a master of disguise. Maybe Jon Snow will be a little bit better at that. Well, I was worried in this episode that Jon Snow would climb the wall and end up seeing like Sam and Gilly, or that their two paths would cross again a little bit prematurely, because I guess that's the direction that Sam and Gilly are headed as well. But what does Sam plan to do with Gilly? Because again, a crow can't have a woman.
Show her pretty things. And just ignore the reality of their situation.
Sit by the fire in Castle Black.
Yeah.
Sing
it's
her
like,
songs.
Look at the pretty blade that I found. It's probably really old or something.
I thought he was going to tell her that.
Best pickup line ever.
Yeah, I thought he was. Gonna, I thought he was going to tell her that it glows blue when orcs are nearby, but apparently not.
I might as well.
Dude, orcs would turn this world into a crazy place. Let me just tell you, because orcs are mean as hell. All right, they're just
isn't
aggressive.
That who won the Kentucky Derby?
An orc. That's very possible. They can ride horses very well. If they can ride wargs, they can ride horses. Yeah, and Sam and Gilly. Well, grats to them for lighting a fire in the middle of the haunted woods. That made all of the sense. I hope nobody catches you two or anything.
Right.
And also, Sam, you didn't give up much of a fight when she asked you to sing. You're like, no, okay.
Yeah, he wanted to. Come on, you know he did.
He's got a pretty voice, guys. All right, yeah. It makes sense.
The baby
like he'll sing on
I
our
kept
show.
Waiting for them to just be like taken and eaten by like wraiths or whatever, but that never happened. Whites.
Same.
Yeah, and there's just nothing.
They're going to show up and want the baby for sure. They're accustomed to eating small male children from the Craster family. So I'm waiting for that meeting to happen.
Do they eat them? I was never clear on that.
Oh,
we don't know yet.
Yeah, I guess we don't know. But the impression I got when I first saw it was that that it was sustenance as opposed to like changing and then like raising children. Like,
I think it would be cool if it was like the reverse of what the slave masters did to the Unsullied. Like, they take kids and then they turn them into white warriors
and like
baby
train
whites.
Them up super.
Yeah,
hard.
They like turn. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Give you a great life. All right, just fight for us.
Yeah,
I was always thinking that maybe. Maybe babies are like the sushi of the food world for White Walkers. You know what I mean? Where it's like you don't eat it all the time, but it's just so good and perfectly wrapped. It's fine. But otherwise, they try to hunt down actual full-sized humans.
I thought this book ended, you know, the episode really well because you open with sort of a nice, quiet scene, and that's kind of how you ended it as well. And I thought, you know, watching the first couple of scenes in this episode, you were going to get a lot of character development. It seemed to be the way that it was going, and then I'm not really sure what happened along the way. And I'm just going to throw it out there. This was not my favorite episode of the season. It would probably rank at this point close to last. Mm-hmm. I'm just interested what you guys thought overall. I mean, for me, it just didn't do it.
I absolutely agree. It's sort of it lingered between, trying to focus a lot on the characters and trying to be shocking, but it didn't really. It was a very. I think this episode just screamed transition in a way that Game of Thrones episodes usually don't. But I mean, a lot of normal TV shows, you know, Game of Thrones isn't. But
it's not TV; it's HBO,
right? But you know what I mean. Like they normal shows will have episodes like this every once in a while. Well, they'll literally just take you through beats to get you set up for something big that's to come. And I really felt like that's what they were doing. Like they were introducing a lot of things here and a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas, a lot of story developments, but they sort of just kept what I felt that I think maybe you're picking up on as well, Micah, is that instead of developing anything further, they were kind of just pushing everything that we already knew even further. Like, there weren't really any surprises. They were just like, last week we found out that Tyrion and Cersei were going to marry the Sansa and Loras. This week, that's still the case. Sansa. Yeah, like, they told them. And last week, you know, we were told that, oh, they're going to be climbing the wall. This week, they climbed the wall. And that's just kind of how it went all the way through. You know, we saw it.
Yeah, you can't keep going at the same breakneck pace though they were before, where sort of things are just thrown out nonchalantly. I think it was kind of important to have this episode where they are climbing the wall physically, and they are.
I agree and I disagree, because like my point was just going to be that I think these kinds of slower pace episodes can work really well, but I think maybe the reason that I at least felt like it didn't was that, with very few exceptions, it didn't actually advance the story. It didn't teach me more about any of the characters. It just kind of tread water.
I think it's because they ended with the montage, to be honest. That gave it, more than anything else, that gave it the transitory feel. I think that they ended with it.
There was no cliffhanger.
Yeah, that too.
Well, there was for a while, then they got up the wall.
They were hanging.
That is true.
There were several cliffhangers. Some of them didn't make it.
Yeah, some of them fell the whole way. I think that maybe my thoughts earlier, when we first started recording, about it feeling transitive, I think that is probably, I think, well, now that you guys all kind of agree, maybe I was onto something. Like, maybe this is sort of an episode that's meant to, like Selena said, really drive us into what is happening now. Mm. I think really I might be wrong here, but because it just happened, but the only newish thing that we did get to see was Melisandre
and the Gendry thing
coming to grab Gendry, which was fine and cool and great. But you know, we now tell Sansa, we're up the wall, yada 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 yada.
It's like, and they were hitting us over the head to make sure that we all understand what's happening right now.
Right, and Tyrion and Cersei, they had a conversation personally just about what Tywin had said at the end of last week.
Hmm. Exactly.
So, I don't think any of us mean to say, like, if you're part of the show and you're listening to this show, talking about the show you've made, just to clarify, I believe that none of us are saying that this was not good, because this is a Thrones episode and it was great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I really do believe that you really can't bring the thunder every single episode if you're really trying to fashion a certain reaction to one in the future. For example, the next episode is written by George. So we could have something that has been saved for us that he wanted to personally put his touch on, and we'll be ready to see next week. And maybe this was just preparing us for whatever the hell that is.
That
is
what this felt like. This felt like it was preparing us for a lot of stuff. And that's, you know, that's what, that's fine, you know. It just meant that we didn't, I mean, we got a lot of sort of owns in those personal conversations. The only thing was, it just felt like a lot of these conversations, we'd already had conversations a lot like them, like the various little finger one. Like, we've had that conversation before.
And the one thing that this episode lacked, with the exception of the climbing of the wall, I think was action. You know, you didn't have any big battle scenes or any fights taking place. It was just climbing of the wall, and everything else was, as you guys already pointed out, conversation.
Mm-hmm. But like Zach said, I mean, it's a good change of pace at the same time, because if we have action every week, at some point we're going to be like, another fight scene, you know what I mean? Like, we'll be excited for next time it happens, and I feel like there's a some really cool stuff coming, like Zach said, next week, you know, that we're going to be more excited for after this one, because it was so low key.
I just a bunch of talking, and then just a slain alpha whore filled with crossbow bolts.
Yeah,
that'll get them talking for a week.
And Jesus, that had us so caught off guard as well. I think even more so because the episode had been so mellow. Like, that just it was such a nice little la la la, we're climbing the wall, la la la, we're talking about eyes, like whatever. And then we're cutting our meat like nice and with pretty dresses or whatever. And then suddenly naked whore and a stick. Like, nobody saw that coming.
Wow. You know, I think though, guys, and I was just looking through my notes just now and I caught this. there's something that Laura says, and I don't know if it's an error, but he basically mentions Sansa's French sleeves. Do you guys catch this? And I was wondering, in a world without France, how can there be French sleeves?
Did he say French? I thought he said
something
else. He
did. I caught
it
too. Oh, okay. I just let it go because people made the show. I hate picking on people.
I'm sure he was referring to the Frenchians that live. come on. Okay. They can make changes. There can be a France in Westeros.
Maybe French is like the name of some guy who invented that cut of sleeve. Let's just go with that.
Maybe. I'm sure.
Or maybe Sharik Torres tweeted that to us on Twitter. Just now on Twitter a few minutes ago. And he literally just brought
that
up.
What
and
a coincidence. Says,
French sleeves, what a coincidence. Is France near Westeros? yes, Franceros. Actually.
This whole show is taking place in France, actually.
The South. George was visiting Paris at the time when he wrote this, and he was like, you know what? Fuck it. French sleeves. He was had a little champagne. Yeah, he was like, this is it. I'm writing this. You know what? He can make that decision. He's the writer. He's the guy who did all of this. And I am super, super excited for The Bear and the Maiden Fair.
Me
because I love
too.
The episodes that he writes. And damn it, it's going to be good.
And there might be a bear.
There could be a maiden.
There might be. If the title is to be believed, there might be a fair.
I hope that she is
maiden.
Fair.
Winter Boo.
It's finally coming.
Winter
Boo is coming.
He worked very hard on his scene, so I don't want any criticism next week.
Actually, if you guys were wondering how we're getting such great feedback and interviews and stuff lately on the show, it's because Micah actually is the bear handler for Game of Thrones and HBO. So that's how we have such a good hookup. So Micah,
I literally threatened them with a bear.
That's how he even got on this show in the first place. He threatened us with a live
bear. He rode through the snow, you know, Golden Compass style. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. He is a sweet bear, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Golden Compass. Mm-hmm. He's mean and does stuff and thought about
Eeyoric
naming my panda after
something.
Him.
Isn't he an alcoholic, though, too? Don't they find him in, like, an alleyway?
Yes. Yes. Eeyoric, the hey, alcoholic bear.
Everyone's got problems, all right? Let's do our own, for Christ's sake.
So my own, I'm going to take it before Phil does. Is Blackfish goes, the laws of my fist are about to compel your teeth. And I love it. And the Blackfish, I've been waiting to give him my own all season because I love this dude. So thank you. Thank you and good night.
I'll take another obvious one and I'll go with the mysterious torturer of Theon when he tells him, if you think this story has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That just made his mood go south, huh?
It's like he's speaking about the series overall, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'm going to go with one of the great scenes, I think, in this entire episode when they were having the nice little discussion, two of our favorite people, inside of the throne room, and they're talking about this chair, and he's like, oh, 1,000 swords.
Oh, no.
Fire. And he's like, well, listen, your swords, there's only 200. I've counted them myself. And he's like, I'm sure you have. And Eric's unhappy that I'm using this, but I don't give a shit. I talked first.
That was my own.
He says, this is the Lysa Aaron of chairs.
Yes.
I thought, yes. They wrote that in there for us to say on the podcast.
I love this.
And I got to read it. yeah, so that's mine. Sorry for what just happened, everybody listening. Next.
Eric is crying, so does that mean I have to go?
Yeah, you go. I need to find a different own, I guess.
I like when Arya goes, face, tits, balls. I hit it right where I wanted to.
She right, owned that scarecrow.
And then when that other guy said to her, you're not as good as you think you are, I was like, oh, ouch. That
way to shit on a 10-year-old dream.
I know.
Just right all over it.
But
responsible
I don't
adult.
Know if we didn't really get into this much, but I'd also give a nod to Cersei for in a way owning Tyrion because she can't deny that either herself or Joffrey didn't give the order to kill him.
Yeah.
She's like, for what it's worth, I almost poisoned my son, so we're good.
Yeah, my own goes to Gilly for owning Sam about the fire.
That was my second one.
Yeah. And she says, I knew you were highborn. It's like, what? Yeah, clearly somebody else was building Sam's fires when it came time to learn how to build fires. I don't know. I feel like that's pretty essential. I'm surprised with Sam.
We make podcast noises on the show. We speak about what you've been seeing. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed our programming from last week, which was filled with a lot of shit. We've been really, really busy over these past handful of weeks, now 6 episodes into season 3. And Brian, Kat, having Christian on just before, I mean, this has been really exciting. And yeah, I'm excited for this whole week because we got some fun stuff planned Friday as well.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Well, a massive honorable mention needs to be sent by way from us to Chris Hobkirk, who was the first comment on last Friday's episode. Chris, you're the first comment that got first. So congrats to you.
Congratulations. And can I just say that the feedback we've received on that episode and on Winter is Coming in general, too, the feedback on the Brian Cogman episode, we really are astounded by it. And it's all been great feedback. And there have been a few, more than a few Hodors in there. But really, we're very pleased with it.
So much so that Brian is even thinking about coming back to Twitter.
He's feeling the love. He's feeling the love. Let's just say that. So
his new Twitter account, awesome. We can announce it here, is Be Nice to BC. That's what the that's what the new Twitter is.
No, it's really Ryan Cogman.
Ryan's an evil, evil things. We put out the stuff earlier on Twitter. I texted Mike and I was like, hey, should we make a tweet? And then he destroyed the world and the world was saved and 1,000 of your tweets came in. And we're now going to charge Eric with the reading of all of those because he likes Theon.
I'm looking forward to owns of this episode, though, because the episode was a little bit more subdued.
That means they're intellectual owns.
Yes, intellectual owns. Are we ready, guys?
I won't sing anything for Eric.
We still have that old rivalry. Back to the lunchroom when I wouldn't let you sit next to me because I was worried that you'd steal my food when I wasn't looking, Sam.
Was that a fat
How
joke?
Dare you?
How dare you? All right, well, to save Eric's life, I'm going to go ahead and introduce this segment. Eric Skull reads the tweets and however long it takes him to read all of your tweets.
That's right. So, first tweet, Laurie Likes Lemons says, I'm expecting Jaime to show up and push Jon Snow off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That was a potential own, but their own of the episode.
Wah, 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 wah.
That would be like a video game ending music, wouldn't it be? Do, 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 do. Anyway, again, Laurie Likes Lemons. Own of the episode, quote, Father doesn't discriminate. We're all getting shipped off to hell together. And that was Cersei. Rose Sanders says, a sword swallower through and through. Ha 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 ha. G yes. Bowser. G Bowser, which I believe is Ghastly Bowser, judging by the profile picture. Littlefinger owned Varys using Joffrey to own Roz and Boy owned Theon. There you go.
It happened that way.
I like how his name is Boy.
Now, is that what he's referred to in the books?
No,
that's what he's referred to on Twitter, though. Yeah. Apparently.
No, I saw the tweeter did it, but I didn't know if that was special insight into the books. Jenny Lee Nuff says, Varys calling the throne the Liza Aaron of chairs, own of the week.
Absolutely.
I like that one.
Giselle G says, Lady Olenna owned Tywin Lannister. Boom. But gotta give it to Bran for giving Mira and Osha the pimp hand.
Wow.
You're both very good at skinning rabbits, okay? Littlefinger said Ross was a bad investment, but had a friend who wanted to try something different. He owned Ross.
Wait, Littlefinger tweeted us?
That was Deneen Call.
I was like, well, shit, we're going places, guys.
This is an intense tweet from John Williams. He says, Brienne owned Jaime's meat. I hope I can say that in a future episode in different context.
Wow, John, I love your music, and your own was questionable, but thanks for coming on.
Yeah, there you go. Christian M.E. says, own of the episode, the Queen of Thorns deftly out-talking Tywin and snapping his quill. She damn sure lived up to her reputation. Mary D. definitely agrees with one of our owns, the Blackfish's fist threatening to own Sir Edmund. Was an own, and also Lady Olenna calling Sir Loras a sword swallower. Okay. Wata says, Laws of my fist are about to compel your teeth. Own of the week. Megan says, well, Ygritte owns all of Jon Snow now.
Winky face.
Winky face. Elizabeth Ann says, Joffrey owned the Alpha Whore, poor Roz. That was really fucked up. I tend to agree with you, Elizabeth Ann.
That's true.
Adam Baldwin says, Tormund totally owned the wall, somehow holding three people up while stuck to an ice wall. There you go. That's fairly
some
true.
Adrenaline.
Elena F. agrees, Tywin and Elena going back and forth owning each other. Marvin says, Thoros owned Beric's Playboy swag with Melisandre when he said, quote, lucky for the ladies.
That was so funny.
Sneha Padumain says, the Queen of Thorns owns, period. She just owns.
Period. There you go.
Alan McFarlane says, Thuros own Melisandre, quote, not as religious as you, and Rolhor still gave me the power to raise the dead. What's that word? Rolior? Is that the name of the red god?
Roller.
Roller. Okay. There we go.
Sounds like good candy.
HBT actually... Well, hang on. HBT sent us a video, a picture own of the episode. In closed... Oh. Took a picture of the screen in closed captioning. Let me read this. I can open this up. It's Lady Olenna chuckles, as an authority on myself, I must disagree.
Oh.
That was cool. A little multimedia own of the episode there. Sharik Torres says, Robb Stark owns Sir Edmund by making him pay for Robb's shitty decisions. Uh-oh. And Sharik actually sent us another one. Littlefinger owns Sansa when he had his ship sail past her vista view. Was that like the last own of the episode? Like, Littlefinger just sailing off right in front of Sansa? That had to have been, right?
Depends on what you're into.
More owns still to come. Jake Thurman, Sansa to Loras, that's a lovely pin. Loras to Sansa, it's a brooch. Vanessa says, Baelish owned chaos isn't a pit, it's a ladder. Wow. Rest in peace, Alpha Whore.
Yeah.
And Deneen Call says, second watching of this episode, I noticed that Arya shot the haystack dummy in the same place as Joffrey shot Roz. Foreshadowing. Oh, and that actually is the end of our... That was not an own in particular, but that was just an observation sent to us to our Twitter via the lovely Deneen Call. And just FYI, if you would like to participate in this ritual that we have on this show, our Twitter address is twitter.com/gameofowns, and that is where we source the majority of our owns for each episode.
That was Eric Skoll. Raise the tweets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 4 hours or less.
Sorry, guys. Axel Baratheon stepped in my body for a second there.
You know, the more we promote
find
that,
out later.
The more we promote that, the longer it'll take to read them in the future.
I'll stop retweeting you. Sorry.
Oh, I like it when you retweet me. That's cool. It legitimizes what I do.
Well, if you'd like what you do legitimize, why not try tweeting at us on Game of Thrones? Maybe Eric will legitimize it with a response. Maybe not. Try it out at Game of Thrones on Twitter. Or if you would like to get creative and write us essays, which you'll learn about in a future episode, don't write an essay. Just learn about it in a future episode. Do that by listening, but email at contact@gameofowns.com. And if you kept up, you can keep up with what Mike is about to say next.
All right. Well, you can also head on over to iTunes and give us a nice 5-star rate and review. It is the month of May. Nothing less is acceptable. And we're going to hold to Brian's threat from last Friday's episode because it is only fair. We allowed the Hodor penis threat to go on for a very long period of time. So why not allow Brian's threat to continue should you not decide to give us 5 stars? But somebody who did decide to give us 5 stars is CSC Saw. And they say, with the title of their review, so good. Mm. Or good.
I see what you did.
See what I did there?
I enjoy this joke.
I see what they did there.
I see. I thought
you
would.
Genius of conversation.
They said, love this podcast. I listened to 3 Game of Thrones podcasts. I know, obsessed. And this one's definitely my favorite. All the hosts have very distinct and different, but equally awesome personalities. And you just feel like you're with a bunch of your friends while listening to the show. The rewatches are great too. It's nice to hear the actual show in the background so you know what scene they're talking about. Fantastic podcast.
You're a fantastic listener, you, CSC Saw.
Also got another one here from Deal_E, title Fantastic. I'm thinking that CSC Saw stole the fantastic idea from Deal E. What do you think?
I feel like words like fantastic and outstanding just aren't used enough in real life. So
that's true.
Keep it up.
But Deal_E says, so refreshing to listen to a podcast where they actually enjoy the show and the books. Oh, well, thank you.
We try
to enjoy it. Interesting discussions and perspectives. Thank you so much for the quick turnaround from show to podcast. Keep up the good work.
There you go.
All those late nights recording paying off.
Or early mornings.
Or early mornings in Selena's case.
Please keep listening to the podcast if it's something that you enjoy. Please.
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 You will be rewarded in another life.
If it's something that you like, That's great because we all love making this with one another. Even Phil. Phil, we love having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And if you get tired of, you know, having to use your ears and you want to use your eyes, head on over to winterscoming.net where we have lots of other fun things for you to read. Yeah,
green eyes, brown eyes, blue eyes. There you
ears
go.
Are yeah. so hard to use, Phil. Thanks for rescuing our listeners from sudden death. It's great. No, Winter's Coming has lots of great shit. In addition to what Selena's doing over at Hypeable, and she does a lot more than just Game of Thrones, you can check that out. It's at Hypeable.com. She is asleep right now, so I will be making this plug on behalf of her.
It's not even a lie.
So we hope you enjoyed the climb. We'll see you on Wednesday.
I think those were the only arrows that Joffrey had made for his special crossbow. So if he ever wants to shoot that crossbow again, he's probably going to need those arrows back.
Oh, no. Gross.
Why would you do that to me?
Let's end on a happy note like the show did. Let's just have the camera pan back in your mind.
And all make out with each other.
We're all standing there on top of the wall.
Over here, Micah.
This dream I'm dreaming.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Come visit us on the wall soon.
I'm on the Game of Thrones. Creation and the only explanation.
Can you just please cue the music, sir?
I'm Zach Louie.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
And I'm Phil Dicking.
Oh, please play the theme music.
See you Wednesday. You guys are ready, we shall do the clap.
All right. Cool. Right.
One, two, three,
clap.
One more time. One, two, three,
clap.
Yo, we nailed that last one.